brought a water glass full of the local spirits. Only when he was working on his second glass did he remember to offer me some of this potable aqua regia. I wasn't saying no, and while I sipped at it, I wondered what he was so upset about. First, the Count checked the locks on all the doors and sealed the single window. His ring key unlocked the bottom drawer of his desk, and he took out a small electronic device with controls and an extendable aerial on top. "Well, look at that," I said when he pulled out the aerial. He didn't answer me, just shot a long look at me from under his eyebrows, and went back to adjusting the thing. Only when it was turned on and the green light glowed on the top did he relax a bit. "You know what this is?" he asked, pointing at the gadget. "Of course," I said, "but not from seeing them on Freiber. They aren't that common." "They aren't common at all," he mumbled, staring at the green light which glowed steadily. "As far as I know, this is the only one on the planet, so I wish you wouldn't mention it to anybody." "Anybody," he repeated with emphasis. "Not my business," I told him with disarming lack of interest. "I think a man's entitled to his privacy." I liked privacy myself, and had used snooper detectors like this one plenty of times. They could sense electronic or radiation snoopers and gave instant warning. There were ways of fooling them, but it wasn't easy to do. As long as no one knew about the thing, the Count could be sure he wasn't being eavesdropped on. But who would want to do that? He was in the middle of his own building, and even he must know that snooper devices couldn't be worked from a distance. There was a distinct smell of rat in the air, and I was beginning to get an idea of what was going on. The Count didn't leave me any doubt as to who the rat was. "You're not a stupid man, Grav Diebstahl," he said, which means he thought I was a lot stupider than he was. "You've been off-planet and seen other worlds. You know how backward and suppressed we are here, or you wouldn't have joined with me to help throw off the yoke around our planet's neck. No sacrifice is too great if it will bring closer this day of liberation." For some reason, he was sweating now, and had resumed his unpleasant habit of cracking the knuckles. The side of his head, where Angela had landed the bottle, was covered with plastic skin and dry of sweat. I hoped it hurt. "This foreign woman you have been guarding," the Count said, turning sideways but still watching me from the corners of his eyes. "She had been of some help in organizing things, but is now putting us in an embarrassing position. There has been one attempt on her life, and there will probably be others. The Radabrecken are an old and loyal family. Her presence is a continued insult to them." Then he pulled at his drink and delivered the punchline. "I think that you can do the job she is doing, just as well and perhaps better. How would you like that?" Without a doubt, I was just brimming over with talent. Or there was a shortage of revolutionaries on this planet. This was the second time within 12 hours that I had been offered a partnership in the new order. One thing I was sure of, though. Angel Lovely's offer had been sincere. Cassie Duke of Erdenrunt's proposition had a distinctly bad odor to it. I played along to see what he was leading up to. "I am honored, noble Count," I used, "but what will happen to the foreign woman? I don't imagine she will think much of the idea." "What she thinks is not important," he snarled, and touched his fingers lightly to the side of his head. He swallowed and got his temper back under control. "We cannot be cruel to her," he said, with one of the most insincere smiles I have ever seen on a human being's face. "We'll just hold her in custody. She has some guards who I imagine will be loyal, but my men will take care of them. You will be with her and arrest her at the proper time. Just turn her over to the jailers, who will keep her safe. Safe for herself and out of sight, where she can cause no more trouble for us." "It's a good plan," I agreed, with winning in sincerity. "I don't enjoy the thought of putting this poor woman in jail, but if it is necessary to the cause, it must be done. The ends justify the means."